Hello, it's Loretta, and welcome back to An Emo Girl's Guide to the Galaxy. This is a safe space for readers, weebs, emos, and everyone in between. So if you love sarcasm and hate the patriarchy, you've come to the right place. I thought we'd start off with an update because we haven't really updated in a while. So, what's going on, Dev?
Yeah, everyone loves hearing what we're doing in life, so why not share? My few updates are that I got sent an early copy of the next JLA book for the Blood and Ash series.
Yes.
And I think it's called The Soul of Ash and Blood. Let me make sure.
I think you're right.
But yeah, one of the ladies, yeah, it's A Soul of Ash and Blood. Yes, July 18th, I believe. One of the ladies from Blue Box Press actually sent me a message on Instagram and was like, hey, what's your email address? And I was like, oh my God, this is happening. So I sent her my email address and she was like, great, I'm going to send you a copy and we might be sending out PR boxes. Just wanted to let you know that you're on the list. And so she sent me a copy directly to my Kindle. And so that's what I've been reading. And so for anybody who is not up to par with like Blood and Ash, this book is told from the main guy character perspective. So for those of you who haven't read the series yet, you'll know him
just
as
saying
Hawk.
His name is a spoiler.
You'll know him as Hawk. So it's told from Hawk's perspective, and it's the first book told in his perspective. And the reason why I actually really enjoyed how they tied it back to the main series, because I was like, I don't want to reread book one. Like, what's the point of this? Like, what?
See, I was very upset because I'm not caught up. So I was like, this is great. It's just a retelling of book one from his POV, and I can just read it and I don't have to worry about catching up. And no.
Yeah, no, you definitely have to be caught up because there is a reason why he is retelling his story from his perspective, because something happens in the beginning of this book and he's like, okay, then I'll just tell you about when we met. I'm gonna tell you about like my side of the story. And so he's going in and talking about how he made his plans, and you know, you get his side of the story. So I'm only about like 40% in, I think, and I am thoroughly enjoying myself. So just know that it's literally not just like a regurgitation of events that happened in book one. It's actually like,
I'm both happy and sad that that's the case. Because now really I have to read all the books I missed.
And for anybody listening, I would definitely recommend reading the books in publication order. So if you're reading from the very beginning, start with From Blood and Ash or Blood and Ash. And then just go through the series and the prequel books in the order that she published them. Because if you don't do it that way, you get a lot of stuff spoiled. Like, this is one of those series where you, for sure, the first read-through, it has to be done in publishing
order.
That's
what slowed me down, because the spin-off series, the spin-off prequel series came out, and I dragged my feet starting it. I don't know why. And now I'm, like, all of these other books have come out, and I still haven't, anyway.
Yeah, you have to read them in publishing order, or else you will be spoiled. So don't do it any other way. At least for the first read-through.
Yeah.
And then I'm manifesting this news for myself because it hasn't happened yet, but I need to just, like, put it out there to the public. And then I will update everybody next weekend and let you know if it actually happened. But I have a mystery package coming from Random House. I got a UPS notification saying I have a package arriving tomorrow. And I haven't requested anything, and I am delusional and deluding myself into thinking that it's Cassandra Clare's adult book, Swordcatcher. This is the book that I have wanted all year. Like, I have been manifesting this. I've sent out so many emails, and if this book comes to my house, I will freak out. I'm going to lose it. So I am putting it out there to the universe.
It's going
to
happen.
And I will keep
That's
you
what
updated.
It is.
I'm convinced. Like, I'm fully.
I'm so excited. I'm living through you. It's great.
So we shall see. And if anybody isn't aware of this book, it's her first adult book. It is a fantasy series, and it follows, I believe, three main characters. And one of the main characters is a prince. And the reason why it's called Swordcatcher, I love this concept. Like, when I first found this out, I was like, oh my god, this is great. But the reason why it's called Swordcatcher is because one of the other main characters was an orphan boy that they found on the streets, and they brought him up along with the prince to be his, like, bodyguard slash sword catcher. So if anybody tries to assassinate the prince, this dude is supposed to step in front of the sword.
I didn't know that, actually. Sword catcher.
Obviously, there's going to be magic and romance and all the things that we love in Cassie's books, but, like, I am
thoroughly invested
in Cassie, but adults, so I will keep everybody posted.
I'm so stoked. I know.
What have you been... Also, third thing, I'm still playing Tears of the Kingdom. It has not stopped. I don't know how much I have left.
It'll never stop. We're going to be playing this for the rest of our lives.
For real. I'm trying to find all the shrines. I'm trying to find all the caves. I'm trying to find everything. So, like, at this point, it's going to take me all year, but I'll keep everyone updated.
After what happened with Breath of the Wild, I'm trying to fully mentally prepare myself to get to what I think is the end of Tears of the Kingdom and then play the final battle and then find out I'm like 5% done.
You're gonna
because that's what happened
story,
last yeah. time.
You're gonna pass the main storyline, and then they're gonna be like, cool, you didn't do any of the side quests.
I'm sure
you didn't
like 50% or so. Last time, that's what happened before, because last time I got all the shrines and what I thought was all of the clothes. I didn't get all of the Koroks.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's too many.
There's like 900 Koroks in that.
But I got everything. I got what I thought was everything else. And then I beat the final guy and I got to the end and it said I was 30% done. I was like, oh my god, what?
Yeah, I'm trying so hard. I will keep everyone updated when I do. Because I'm at that point. I can go and fight the final battle right now. But I'm trying to wait to see if I can finish
uncover
and get super close
other
to
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can get as close to 100% as possible before I go and beat him. So, once I go into the final battle, I will reveal what percentage the game I actually passed. Like, 3 months worth of gameplay and like 400 hours later, I will let y'all know what percent was actually complete. Yeah.
Let's see, what have I read? I read this book called Praise a while ago by Sarah Kate. Very dirty, very, very sexy. I liked it a lot. It's age gap, which is not usually my thing, but I was into it. And it was funny because the premise is this girl breaks up with her boyfriend who she was living with, and then she needs to get her deposit back, but they co-signed with the boyfriend's dad. So she goes and meets the boyfriend's dad to get her half of the deposit back, and then he ends up giving her a job under weird circumstances because he works for a sex club, and then they have a romance. And it's very like dom sub, which is all things I don't normally read, but I was way into it. And it touches on like there's a transgender character, and I was like, this is cool. Her sister is transgender, so I was like, this is great. So then I read the next one, which is called Eyes on Me, and that was awesome too. I just finished that. So I highly recommend this series. I'm going to keep reading it in between other stuff, but I started White Hot Kiss last night because we are going to be doing a Love Triangle episode, and Dev is forcing me to read this series for the Love Triangle episode. Spoiler Not that you had alert. To really, like, force me that much, but...
Yeah. Spoiler alert, it is one of the love triangles that I actually am highly invested in, so I am excited to hear what you have to say about it. But everyone has to listen into our love triangle episode to find out.
Yes. I met Roth last night, and I was like, I don't even need the other guy. This is enough. I love you.
Yeah, Roth is everyone's favorite.
He's hot. He's a demon. He has a snake tattoo that comes to life, and he named it Bambi. Like, come on.
I know. I heard that, and I was like, this is great. I'm obsessed.
And I met Zane, and I'm like, Zane's fine, but I don't know. I need to read more. I've had like 2 pages of Zane, but I'm like, no. It's Roth for me. So anyway.
You already invested. Well, I'm excited for our Love Triangle episode that will be coming hopefully soon, so everyone stick around.
It's a few episodes down the pike, so you gotta wait a few weeks, but...
But anyway, today we are continuing on with our, I'm going to call it a virtual tour, because why not? The Insider
Scoop. It feels like a virtual tour.
Yeah, a virtual tour of all of Cassandra Clare's annotations. So Loretta and I both bought the LitJoy Crate special editions of the Mortal Instrument books. And in each one, Cassandra Clare has annotated a bunch of pages to give her inside scoop and little fun facts about her writing process and just the characters, anything else that she threw in as Easter eggs. And so we thought it would be a good idea to share them with y'all, so that way you could live vicariously through our book sets and not
as people
spend
who
tons
spent
of money.
Too much money on this series of special edition books. Save your money, and we'll give you the inside scoop.
So today we are doing books 3 and 4, so City of Glass and City of Fallen Angels.
It won't
Angels.
Be all me talking this time. You'll get some dev, too.
Yeah, last episode we did books 1 and 2, and we realized that we just had too much to say, so we're cutting it into
because we have to comment on literally everything.
We have to comment on the fact that nobody wanted to take a DNA test to solve some really...
Make it make sense.
...small problems. So today we're talking about books 3 and 4, and then on the last episode of this series, we will be talking about books 5 and 6. So stick around if you want to know everything Cassie has to say about her writing this series. We also, just FYI for everybody listening, broke it up into half. So Loretta looked through the first 3 books, I looked through the second 3 books, and so you'll hear her talking through those comments, and then just me adding in my 2 cents for the first half, and then I will jump into the second half.
And then we'll reverse it.
Yes. So, let's jump right in.
Yeah, it was really weird because book 2 had the most annotation. In the first 3 books that I looked over, book 2 had the most annotations, and then book 3, where I feel like all of the shit happens, doesn't have that many.
Yeah.
Which was odd, but whatever. So the first one I have to comment on in book 3, I don't know if everyone remembers, but in the beginning of book 3, they're all going to Idris, because shit's going down, and I forget how, but somehow Simon ends up accidentally going with them. Simon, who is a vampire at this point, ends up accidentally going with them over to Idris, and then everyone's like, what the fuck, why are you here? You need to leave. And so they're trying to figure out how to get him to go back. And Sebastian is there.
Of course.
I was going to say, he's still going by Sebastian then, right? Yes, he is.
Yeah, because Sebastian, you only know him as Sebastian.
As Sebastian in the beginning.
The second half of the
series. Everyone
has
like 5 names.
Everyone has a secret identity.
I know. All of the men have like 5 names. It's been a while too, so I'm like, what? Okay, so there's a conversation. So while Simon is waiting, you know, to figure out how to go back home, him and Sebastian are hanging out in the living room of the house one day, and I forget what they're talking about. Sebastian and Simon are talking about like mundanes and like how shadow hunters view mundanes or something. And then Jace is there and he says something in Romanian to Sebastian. And then Sebastian doesn't even skip a beat and he speaks Romanian right back to him. And you don't really know what they say. So Cassie wrote an annotation and said, the Romanian, here Jace says, why do you think I was listening to your conversation? Sebastian replies, you've been watching me since you got here. I can't tell if you don't like me or you just... Or you're just this suspicious of everyone. Of course, Sebastian and Jace were both taught Romanian by Valentine. Which was kind of cool.
That is insane. Yeah, I feel like it gives that scene, like, a little bit more...
Yeah, because you don't know what they say, and you just know it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I'm looking at the pages right now. I have it in front of me. Simon is talking... There's Isabel, Jace, Simon, Sebastian...
Simon and just Sebastian are talking about mundanes and how Shadowhunters view mundanes. And then Sebastian turns to Jace and says, like, do you agree or something?
Yeah, Simon says, there aren't a lot of openings for me in the conversation. It seems to be either about Shadowhunter politics or people I've never heard of, or both. And then somebody says, we can be something of a closed circle, we Nephilim. It's the way of those who are shut out from the rest of the world. And then he says, don't you think you shut yourselves out? You despise ordinary humans. And then Sebastian says, despise is a little strong. And do you really think the world of humans would want anything to do with us? All we are is a living reminder that whenever they comfort themselves that there are no real vampires, no real demons or monsters under the bed, they're lying. He turned his head to look at Jace, who Simon realized had been staring at them both in silence for several minutes. Don't you agree? And then Jace smiles, and then that's when they start going into the Romanian. He says, I appreciate the Romanian practice, but if you don't mind, I'm going to see what's taking Isabel so long in the kitchen.
Yeah, like, so he says, don't you agree? And then Jace says, why do you think I was listening to your conversation? And then Sebastian replies in Romanian, you've been watching me since you got here. I can't tell if you don't like me or you're just this suspicious of everyone. It's like, no, it's you, bro.
And then...
you're creepy as fuck, man.
Jace, right after this, Jace also has... it says he disappeared through the doorway, leaving Jace staring after him with a puzzled expression. And then him and Simon go into the fact that he speaks Romanian and he speaks it perfect. And Jace is, like, kind of, like, confused as to why he would speak Romanian. And I feel like...
because y'all got the same dad?
Yeah, I feel like I didn't think about this the first time I read it. And I was just like...
well, okay, I never really went back, so...
yeah, not a lot of people speak Romanian, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, that's like a whole nother...
it's also weird because I never know, like, how much Shadowhunters know. So, like, is it universal knowledge that Shadowhunters speak Romanian? I don't have any fucking idea. Apparently not.
So weird. And then also on the page before this, one of the notes is talking about how Simon thinks that Sebastian is really pale for somebody with such dark hair.
Yeah.
And then she writes in there, like, it's because it's not his natural hair color.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all of the signs, all of the red flags, nobody can catch this.
The foreshadowing.
Like, he's I didn't even catch it.
Yeah. And then there's a scene later on which was hilarious to reread because Clary was not supposed to go to Idris with everybody. I can't remember why, but I think they're trying to protect her and, you know, help her to not die. She gets mad and she makes a portal herself because she has the power to do that with her Rooney powers. So she makes a portal all on her own, and she just goes to Idris, and then she goes up to the house, and she's all excited to see Jace, like, oh, I portaled myself here, I can't wait to see Jace. And then she goes into his room, and he's making out with Aline.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious, because she's married to a woman now. But, it was, I just, like, completely forgot that happened, too, because I'm just so used to seeing Aline, like, not with a guy, with her wife, so I was like, whoa. But, you know, there's drama, because Clary and Jace are in love, but, you know, they're supposedly brother and sister, so it's all fucking weird. Anyway.
drama.
That's a word for it.
Oh, man.
But Cassie wrote a little annotation, and it said, eek, Clary really has been the one pushing Jace away for good reason, but I wanted her to confront the possibility of losing him. And then she wrote in parentheses, Aline has come so far. The scene is funny to remember. And I thought that was just kind of funny.
Yeah. I also will say that I think that, it's weird thinking about Clary confronting it, like she said.
That's why I made a note of it.
Yeah, because all of the scenes that I clearly can recall from the last time I read it are always Jace being the one to be like...
Jace is being emo, and he's all like, oh, yeah. I'm a terrible person because I love you.
Yeah, he's like, and then I have to sit back and watch you date other guys, get married, and be happy, and I'm
come
like,
the fuck down, Edward Cullen, all right?
Uh-huh, and I don't ever remember Clary being upset, and then this scene, I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, she does get kind of jealous that he's, like, making out with some random girl.
It's also kind of funny just to compare them to, because Jace spends his entire time during this period being like, oh, my God, I love her, but I can't have her, and I'm a terrible person because I love her, and then... When Clary is faced with this moment of quote-unquote losing him, like Cassie Clare says, it's kind of funny because right after this moment, he's trying to save her you know, so he's being a martyr, yeah. and he's like, well, I don't want you here, Clary. You need to get out of here. Go back home. No one wants you getting yeah. in the way. And she's like, what the fuck? And she just kind of doesn't face it at all. She just, like, goes off and does her own thing. So it's kind of funny to see them because, like, he's all emo and she's like, whatever, fuck you.
It's like, bye.
That a girl, Clary. Don't let him get to you.
I will, even though Clary does go in and doesn't think about things the way that you should, I will give her credit for, you know, not caring about what anybody says.
Yeah. The next one I wrote down was when Sebastian and Clary kiss, which is just like vomit material. And Cassie Clare wrote, this kiss was meant to be unbelievably creepy. It's almost our first clue that something is up with Sebastian. And I was like, job well done, now because that was awful.
I was going to say, now I need to go back and read it because I don't remember at all. He says, I've wanted to meet you. I knew you'd be extraordinary. She laughed shakily. I hope you're not too disappointed. No, he breathed, sliding his fingertips under her chin. Not at all. He lifted her face to his. She was too surprised to move, even when he leaned toward her, and she realized belatedly what he was doing. Reflexively, she shut her eyes as his lips brushed gently over hers, sending shivers through her. A sudden fierce longing to be held and kissed in a way that would make her forget everything else surged through her. She put her arms up, twining them around his neck, partly to steady herself and partly to draw him closer. His hair tickled her fingertips, not silky like Jace's, but fine and soft. And she shouldn't be thinking about Jace. She pushed back thoughts of him as Sebastian's fingers traced her cheeks and the line of her jaw. His touch was gentle, despite the calluses on his fingertips. Of course, Jace had the same calluses from fighting. Probably all Shadowhunters had them. She clamped down the thought of Jace, or tried to, but it was no good. She could see him, even with her eyes closed. She saw, see the sharp angles and planes of a face she could never properly draw, no matter how much the image of it had burned itself into her mind. See the delicate bones of his hands, the scarred skin of his shoulders. The fierce longing that had surged up in her so swiftly receded with a sharp recoil that was like an elastic band springing back. She went numb, even as Sebastian's lips pressed down on hers and his hands moved to cup the back of her neck. She went numb with an icy shock of wrongness. Something was terribly wrong, something even more than her hopeless longing for someone she could never have. This was something else, a sudden jolt of horror, as if she'd been taking a confident step forward and suddenly plunged into a black void. She gasped and jerked away from Sebastian with such force that she almost stumbled. If he hadn't been holding her, she would have fallen. Clary. His eyes were unfocused, his cheeks flushed with a high, bright color. Clary, what's wrong? Nothing. Her voice sounded thin to her own ears. Nothing. It's just, I shouldn't have. I'm not really ready. And then he says, did we go too fast? We can take it slower. And then he says, I'm not going to hurt you, Clary. And then that was it. And
he knows, right? He knows Jace. That he's...
That's what I was trying to figure out, is because, like,
I'm reading
this.
He knows that he's her brother?
I think he knows, but she doesn't.
She definitely doesn't, but I can't remember if he does.
I think he knows that he has a sister. But it doesn't... For me, the reason why that scene is creepy is not because he knows, because obviously when we're first reading this, like, we don't know that they're brother and sister.
Right.
But it's the fact that, like, she's thinking about her supposed brother while she's kissing another boy. I'm like, that's so the creepy weird. Part for me. Because that's why I was like, wait, what makes this so creepy? But when I'm reading that, I'm thinking, like...
You're thinking about who you think is your brother.
Yeah, like, okay, you're talking about, like, so how you can't draw weird. Him properly.
Yeah.
Like, cool.
And there's this...
Not that he couldn't possibly be her brother. Like, she's thinking, oh, man, he's my brother, and I can't stop thinking about him. Not, like, there's no way that he's my brother. Like, if they would have went into it...
Yeah,
and, like,
she's thinking, I shouldn't be thinking about Jace, he's my brother. That's literally her thought.
Like, if they would have went into it the entire time and, like, were in denial about it, I think it would be
a if they, like, truly believed that they weren't brother and sister,
yeah,
it would be a little easier to swallow.
Yeah, and everybody was just so quick to be like, oh, yeah, they're siblings, instead of being like, there's no way. There's no way that they're siblings.
Maybe
we're
let's
find
test
out the
this.
Truth. Yeah, like,
okay. Maybe let's check with someone.
Everybody is just like, yep. We heard it once from an unreliable source.
And then siblings. there's a comment from Simon later, which fucking killed me. I forget when it happens, but when I was looking through the annotations, I saw it. And Simon is like, so either way, you mean to tell me that you've kissed your brother? And she's like, shut up, Simon! And I'm like, that's so weird.
I feel like the last time we had this conversation about these books, we went into a dark hole looking at stories for, like, this happening in real life, and I remember finding out that it happens way too often, like, more than I'm comfortable with. We're like
brother and sisters don't know. I mean,
yes, like siblings who got separated at birth because they got adopted by different families and then they find each other just later on in life.
This.
And like,
oh god, but I believe it.
Yeah, it just the fact that it happens and then you find out. And
I watched, like, that. Oh. Have you ever seen that? This is so random. Have you ever watched that movie, August Osage County or whatever, and like Benedict Cumberbatch is in it and Julia Roberts is in it. And I went in and I was like, oh, this looks funny. And then it's like this, it's like this terrible thing. I think someone dies and there's a funeral. So the whole family gets together. And one of the storylines is how this guy and this woman think they're second cousins and they fall in love and they're like, we know it's wrong, but you know, it's just second cousins and it's not by blood or whatever. So they like make excuses and they're going to come out to the family that they're together. And then it turns out that someone had an affair with someone else and their brother and sister. And I was like, this is horrible. Why did I watch this?
I have not seen that movie, and I kind of want to watch it now just for this. There's also a similar storyline in New Girl. So, spoiler alert if you're not caught up with New Girl after all these years. But there's the storyline where Jess is dating the dude with the glasses, the one that used to date Cece.
Oh, yeah. And oh, that was so weird.
They get stuck in the woods together. They're like hiking or camping and one of them gets hurt, and so they're
they find out they're like cousins or something.
Yeah, and they're like talking about their life and like their uncles, and it comes up and they're like, wait, what? And they're just like, okay. So I'm like, it happens everywhere. Like, why is this a storyline that we
stop
need to talk about?
Stop putting this in media. Like, let's not.
Like, it's enough that it happens in real life. We don't need to have for it to happen in fictional life.
Ugh. Why? Okay. Anyway, moving on.
Switching gears.
We're comparing, because that was Sebastian and Clary's kiss, and we're moving on to the next annotation I have written down, which is Clary and Jace's kiss, or Clace, the ship name. When it's the part where they go into the Wayland Manor, and then they find that angel that Valentine trapped in the basement, and then they end up releasing the angel, and releasing the angel causes the house to basically explode.
I remember this scene.
So they're running away.
Roll down the hill or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I ate this shit up as a teen. I was like, yes! Finally! So they're running away from the exploding house. Jace covers Clary with his body to, like, help protect her. And then he's on her and he's like, oh, I love you. Why can't I have you? And he's all emo. And then Clary is like, what the fuck? Why were you making out with Aline earlier? And he's like, I had to try, and I did, but God knows I don't want anyone but you. I don't even want anyone but you. And Cassie Clare writes an annotation and says, I love how exhausted Jace is here. She's like, I've run him into the ground. This is great. she says, I love how exhausted Jace is here. He's been fighting his feelings for Clary for so long. Here he acknowledges he doesn't even want to anymore. This is the depth of his despair, out of which he reaches for his love for Clary, paradoxically the best thing in his life.
I'm reading this scene right now as you're talking through it, and I'm just like,
I love that scene so much. Which is weird because they think that they're brother and sister. But I
was just gonna
it's
say
so romantic,
she wrote,
and then they're like, I wish you weren't related to me, and then you're like, wait.
On the next page, she literally draws a heart next to the scene where he's like, where they're like all cuddled up together on the hill, and he's like, and I'm like,
it's weird.
You could have done more to let us know that they weren't siblings, so we could have enjoyed this.
I was 18 reading this, and I was very confused.
Yeah.
Not really, because I kind of knew.
They don't find out until the end, right? Like, they, as like, nobody finds out that
they're not related. Don't they find out at the lake with Valentine?
Yeah, and they don't find out until he says something, and then it's confirmed by the mom, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, at this point, they don't know. They still think, like, oh, we're related.
Yeah. Who was the one who was in love with... Is it Michael Wayland, who's his dad?
No, his dad Luke's
sister.
Ends up
was
being...
it Luke's sister who ends up confirming that they're not related?
I forget who confirms it, but I feel like it's multiple, like, various people. Like, Valentine talks about how there were two kids, and then the mom wakes up, and the mom is like, no, that's not my, like, she has a box of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then...
Oh, yeah, Jocelyn confirms it, too, but...
Luke's sister.
I thought there was a thing where, like, Luke's sister was dating Michael Wayland, and then they were in love, but they couldn't be together for some reason, and then Michael Wayland ended up going with this other woman, and then they had Jace.
No, because he's not a Wayland. He's actually
What am I thinking of?
He thinks he's Wayland at first, and then he finds out that he... Or
Herondale.
He thinks he's Wayland, and then he thinks he's Morgenstern, and then he finds out that he's a Herondale. And
I was
saying
Wayland, and I knew I meant Herondale, but anyway.
Yeah, and then his real dad...
I'm going to need to Google this
later.
...is
with Luke's sister, and then is convinced by Valentine to not be with the sister anymore, and goes with...
But the sister is the one who ends up helping confirm it, right? Because she's like...
I want to say yes, but I honestly don't even remember.
I think she is. And Jocelyn, because, you know, she's the one who had the kid, but...
Yeah, I honestly don't even remember at this point. Just remember
this
the fact that
this book is such a, like,
it.
Fucking mess. just so much stuff happened.
In such a good way.
I mean, I loved it. The first time I read it, I was all over it, but oh my god.
Yeah. Also, side note, did you ever hear that she wasn't, like, it wasn't planned to be 6 books, it was planned to be a trilogy?
3.
And I'm so glad that it's not just a
I get vibes from
the
of that.
Of book, yeah, the
well, because I believe
three,
that,
is, like, so
like,
underwhelming.
When I first read it, I was like, it's the end, like, I literally believed. And then I stopped reading the books for a while because I thought that was it. And then, yeah. Like, a few years later, I was like, oh my god, there's, like, 2 or 3 more books. So I ended up finishing it, but...
Yeah, the ending of book 3, I do remember that they don't find Sebastian's body anywhere. And so it leaves mm-hmm. it open to, like, the next 3. But I was just like, this is so underwhelming. Like, oh, cool, they find out that they're not siblings. Gay.
Woo.
Like, why couldn't you just tell us in book 2?
So that's literally it. That's, like, the main storyline. They're not they're not related. Yeah, aren't you excited? It's like, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Simon stop being a vampire, or does that not happen in this one?
That doesn't happen in the first 3. In the first 3, he's still a vampire at the end.
I remember he ends up going to jail and stuff, and then he's released.
He, in the 3rd one, he drinks Jace's blood. Doesn't that happen, or does that happen in the 2nd one?
Second.
It's
at the end of the 2nd.
So he drinks Jace's blood, and then, like, there's that whole, I don't know if it's in book 3, and it's continued on in the 2nd half, where he can walk around in the daytime, and then, like, mm-hmm. that's a whole thing, and the
they
reason
why... They call him
Daylighter. Yeah, and then Clary, I don't know, again, I don't know when things happen, because it's all just, like, mashed up in my brain,
mm-hmm.
but she ends up putting the mark of Cain on him, so that way people can't go after him, but I don't think that happens in book 3, I think that happens later, because he doesn't get it taken off for a while.
I think that happens in this one. Isn't this the one where they where she creates a rune that brings Downworlders and Shadowhunters together to share powers?
Yes.
I think she ends up
putting... Because that's how they fight Valentine,
I
right?
think that's when she puts the Mark of Cain on him.
And then, like, no one can touch him. And it's, like, a whole thing. And then
I can't remember why she does that.
I'm pretty sure he's a vampire all the way until the 6th book when he...
Probably.
When they wipe his memory and turn him human again.
I'm just trying to remember because when I was going through the annotations, I saw because he accidentally comes to Idris. They're all like, what the fuck are you doing here? You're a vampire, not allowed to be here. So then they find a way for him to go back, and he's supposed to be portaled back to New York. But I think Alec drops him off. He's like, okay, you're going to get portaled now. See you later. And then when he drops him off, someone ends up taking Simon, and he gets thrown into jail. And then he stays in Idris because he's like,
isn't this?
But I can't remember why they put him in jail.
Isn't this where he gets drunk off of like spiked blood and he's like, Isabel, let down your hair.
Oh my god.
And Clary is like, oh my god, what are you doing? Stop.
Anyway.
I honestly don't remember. Somebody let us know if you know. If you
listen
can, like,
to
confirm.
Us try to patchwork this series together.
We're Shadowhunter fans. Continue to like guess
what
the
happens
plot
again?
Of the books.
I know. To be fair, I read this like a decade ago.
I know. It's been a while since the last time I reread this specific series, so.
Anyway, there's only one more that I wrote down after that. And it's towards the end. I forget where exactly she writes it. I think it's around the lake scene when they're with Valentine at the lake or whatever. But she makes a comment about how Sebastian was always meant to be Jace's dark mirror. How he would have turned out, Sebastian is how he would have turned out if Valentine had raised him and given him demon blood, which I thought was interesting because I get that vibe. They're like yeah. the same, but not the same. Like complete uh-huh. opposites.
I'm reading it right now. And I am confirming that it's the mom who tells them that it's not, Jace is not her son. Because remember, she takes the potion in book one to, like, put her into a sleep
a
state.
Coma, yeah.
And she says that while she's laying there, trapped by Valentine, she could hear everything, that he talked to her. And
how awful. That's awful.
Yeah, she says that, hold on. She says, Jocelyn shook her head. Those were Michael Wayland's bones and his son's bones. Valentine killed them both and burned their bodies. He wanted the Clave to believe that both he and his son were dead. And then Clary says, then Jonathan is alive, said Jocelyn. Valentine told me as much at Renwick's. Valentine brought Jace up in the Wayland Manor and Jonathan in the house near the lake. He managed to divide his time between the two of them, traveling from one house to the other. They never met, though they probably lived only miles from each other. And then that's when...
He's like one of those weird guys who have two families. And
yeah,
just, like,
and you're like, how
lives.
Do you have a family in Mexico? And then she also confirms that he doesn't have demon blood in him. And then Clary is like, oh my god, he raised two people. And I do have a brother, but it's not Jace. And it's like a whole thing.
Girl, you don't even know.
And then Jocelyn also mentions Celine Herondale. She says, the night Celine Herondale died, she was 8 months pregnant. Valentine had been giving her potions, powders. He was trying on her what he tried on himself with angel blood, hoping that Stephen's child would be as strong and powerful as he suspected Jonathan would be, but without Jonathan's worst qualities. So that's why Jace came to be, because giving demon blood to Sebastian obviously caused the
fucked
kids to
up.
Be kind of have issues. So
issues, quote unquote.
Some of his she says worse qualities, but it's neither here nor there.
That's a PC way to say.
Yeah, that's a PC way to say.
That's
you
a PC way to say
child
fucked
with
up.
but yeah, that's
okay.
Now
it's Stephen Herondale and
questions.
Celine, but doesn't Stephen Herondale has a relationship with Luke's sister, and then they
Correct.
Fall in love, and then something happens, and he's like, "Nope, can't marry you. You're not good enough. I'm going to marry Celine." Okay.
Yeah, I think they break up when Luke becomes a werewolf. They find out, and
I just remember that part at the end when Luke's sister comes up to Jace, and she's like, "I have this stuff of your dad's if you want it," and she gives it to him, and he's like, "What the fuck do I do to this?"
Yeah, and there's like a letter in there too, right?
I think so.
But yes, I think what happens is that Valentine convinces him to separate from her, because Luke turns into a werewolf, and he's like, we can't have anybody.
Oh yeah, downworlder blood in the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then he leaves, and then Valentine convinces him to get with Celine because Celine is like under his spell.
James would be so happened. Disappointed in his.
yep.
In his lineage.
But that is what happened, I believe.
Anyway, that's the third book, and you don't have to hear me talk so much, so take it away. Woo! Dev.
All right, so
you get to start us with my least favorite book in the entire series because I fucking hate this book.
Book 4, City of Fallen Angels. That's where we're picking things.
You reach the end of book 3 and you're like, yes, thank God, Jace will stop being emo now. And he does not.
I think
she gives him a new reason to be emo.
True to real life, I feel like you're not truly ever not emo until you hit, like, your adult years. So,
that's
like,
fair.
Emo Jace in his teens makes sense.
That's like, fair, yeah. They're all filled with teen angst.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so starting off with book 4 at the very beginning, there is a scene where they're all meeting up at a diner. And they usually meet up at Takis. And then somebody says, like, why are we meeting here? Why aren't we at Takis? And they're talking about a place called Veselka. They don't mention it by name in the book. But the way that she's describing this new diner, apparently it was based off of a real place in New York City called Veselka. And it's open 24/7, and she said she spent a lot of time there while working on the Mortal Instruments because she had a night shift job too. Ooh. So she threw in a real diner that she actually spent a lot of time writing the book in. And they mention a character called Count Blintzela, and it was a Halloween decoration, but it's actually a real character that they have in the diner.
Oh my God, so, I love that.
Yeah, so if you're ever in New York City, you can check out Veselka. It is, I think I looked it up. It's Ukrainian soul food. So I googled this place, and they sell Ukrainian soul food, and they do have a Count Blintzela during Halloween.
That's amazing. Once again, we say, someone please sponsor our trip to New York.
Yes, Simon Teen, if you're listening to this, we will take a trip and go to all of the places in New
York. What good press would that, like, that would be so great for you guys, wouldn't it?
I would do all the work. Just send me over there. Okay, and then skipping ahead a few pages to page 29 in this book, obviously, probably not in, like, a different book. The chapter is called The Master. What's the note?
The Master makes me think of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
So this is a scene with Simon, and he is going home and talking about his family. And Cassie wrote, I've always enjoyed writing Simon's family. As a New York Jew myself, they remind me of my own relatives. I just wrote this down. I thought it was interesting because it's always fun to see, like, how people incorporate their culture and their childhood and their family
into their books. Real selves, so, like, into their books.
Yeah. I also didn't know that she was Jewish, and I also didn't know that she has relatives in New York City who are also Jewish. So, like, fun fact about Cassie.
There you go. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Okay. Then skipping ahead to another fun fact that is about her real life and not necessarily just the Mortal Instruments or the characters. But they are talking about Isabel's wardrobe, I think. And they're talking about gloves that she's wearing. Like, she's wearing a pair of red gloves. And they say that she gets them from Trash and Vaudeville, which, again, is an actual place in New York City that I'm assuming it's a clothing store. And for all of you Cruel Prince fans out there, the fun fact on this page is that Holly Black's husband actually used to work at Trash and Vaudeville,
That's so cool.
A store in New York City. So, like, everybody knows that Cassie and Holly Black are close friends, and they're always, like, on writing retreats with each other and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize that
that's how long they've known each other. Probably a while, because they both had books come out forever ago.
Yeah. So, anyway, now we have fun facts about Holly Black and her husband and a store in NYC called Trash and Vaudeville. So, again, somebody sponsor me so I can go look at all of these places.
Take me with you.
Okay, and then skipping ahead, there is also a scene in here going back to Simon, and he's talking to his mom, and he's telling, so confirming that he's still a vampire in this book. Because he's
I was going to say, this. I remember this now that we're talking about.
Yeah, he's telling his
he tells him mom, that he's a vampire, right?
yeah, he says, I told you I'm a vampire. And then she says, like, you're not my son, you're not Simon. And she's starting to pray. I think it's Hebrew, because obviously they're Jewish and they're reading from, like, the Torah, right? And she's saying, blessed are you, God, who hears prayer. And Cassie writes in here that to her, the most horrifying scene to write was this one, because it's a mother rejecting her child. And I don't know, I just thought that, like, a look into her emotional state, like, of all of the horrifying scenes that she's ever written, it's, like, this one that was the hardest for her, of, like, his mom being like, can you leave me? I don't, like, get away.
Get out.
Like, that sucks.
I think that comes across, too, because I remember reading that and being like, oh my god. I'm like, yeah. I'm not the biggest Simon fan, but I was like, this is terrible. I felt so bad for him.
Yeah, I thought for sure that if anybody from the series was going to have, like, a parent who would accept them, it would be him, because he's such a normal person. You know, like, he's normal. He lives a normal life. Simon, yeah. Like,
he's somebody the most needs average to have- guy who happens yeah, to be, like, a vampire.
Yeah, somebody needs to have, like, a family who's going to care about them, but I guess not Simon's mom. And then also just, like,
if Charlie Swan can do it.
Just, like, the thinking to how she writes his interactions with his family after he's, like, once he's not a vampire anymore, and once he's, like, quote, human again.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I remember, like, at the end of the sixth book, and then, like, all of the short stories that she's written with, like, adult Simon, like, his family is always there. And I'm like, how big of a person do you have to be to, like, live with the knowledge that your mom, like, rejected you, and then, like, still...
Oh my gosh, I never even thought of that, but yeah.
Unless he doesn't remember, because I know at the end, like, all of his memories get wiped, right? And he, like, slowly starts getting pieces back.
He gets them back, though, doesn't he?
I don't remember. Maybe he does, but, like, if he does,
but maybe, like, he doesn't remember that part or something.
Yeah, maybe that part just, like,
her memories get wiped, too, don't they? Like, she doesn't remember that.
Yeah, they don't know. I don't think that they know what he actually does. Like, they don't know that he's a, quote, shadow hunter once he turns into a shadow hunter. But, like,
but she doesn't remember him coming out as a vampire at all.
Yeah, no. Yeah. But just, like, having
but, like,
to live
knowing
with that.
Like, that was
knows.
Her reaction. Even if she doesn't know that was her reaction. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, like, oh, I love you no matter what. And you're like, but you don't love me no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, wild.
Yeah, that would fuck me up. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. But on a lighter note...
You don't know this hypothetical thing happened, but you didn't know love me.
So we get a first glimpse of Kyle in this book as well. And Kyle and Simon, I think, have an apartment together.
No, I don't want to talk about Kyle. Hey,
Kyle. And on page, in the chapter, The Art of Eight Limbs, for anybody who wants to go back and reference, Simon is talking about his friends, I think, and Cassie writes in here that Matt, Kirk, and Eric are actually her in real life friends.
Oh, cool.
So she wrote, Matt, Kirk, and Eric were IRL friends of mine, though they were never in a band. So, like, that's where those names came from. Like, all of Simon's friends are actually named after Cassie's friends.
Oh, that's cute. I love that. She made her friends a little boy band.
Uh-huh. And then continuing on with that scene, so a few pages later, so Kyle and Simon have an apartment together, and they're chilling and playing video games, and they're talking about how it's, like, it's super nice, and it was here on Avenue D, and then Cassie writes, the apartment Simon and Kyle live in is modeled on the apartment of the boyfriend I had in college. He was in a band that kept changing its name, so it comes full circle. So, like, all of the bandmates' names are friends that she had, and then her boyfriend at the time in college was in a band that kept changing its name, so that's where that whole concept of, like, Simon and his friends having a band that kept changing its name.
That's hilarious.
And then the apartment that he stays in is also modeled after her boyfriend at the time, in the apartment that he used to live in.
Yeah. Oh my god. I love that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, there's so many, like, little fun tidbits like that in this book. Okay, so then on page 125, this is where, and I don't remember if this scene is in the movie. I want to say it is. And I didn't finish watching the show, so I can't confirm even if it's in the show. But it's the scene where Clary and Jace go to the grocery store, and they're those girls that are in the store as well, like, stalking Jace. And he goes up to them talk to them or something, and he says, I think they just asked if I wanted their mango, or something like that. It's like, something about a mango. It says, the girl said something to him breathlessly. He shrugged. She pressed something into his hand and then dashed back to her friend. They wobbled out of the store giggling together. Simon went over to Jace. Oh, Simon and Jace went together. And dropped the soup can in the cart. So what was that all about? I think, Jace said, that she asked if she could touch my mango. And then Simon says, she said that? And then Jace shrugged and says, yeah. Then she gave me her number. And so Cassie wrote in here, I had no idea this mango line would be so popular. When the TMI movie came out, everyone brought the cast dozens of mangoes.
Oh my god, what?
And I didn't know that. I thought that was so funny.
It's like, not even in the movie. The cast is like, why are you giving us mangoes?
I think she asked if she could touch my mango.
That's amazing. Oh my god. I don't remember that being in the show, but I think it's
in the movie for sure, but I don't know about the show, but I'm glad that at least... I think so. I think that there's a... Oh, wait, no, it's not. I'm thinking of the wrong thing.
Okay.
Maybe I have to confirm.
I was going to be like, wow, I don't remember that.
Scratch that.
But yeah, the show was all chaos and...
Yeah.
I don't know, fire. So yeah. I can't remember.
Why do I feel like I remember a grocery store scene? I'm going to Google this now. Please hold. Give me a moment. I know. Mango scene. Okay. I can't find anything. I'll continue looking. Maybe I'm just imagining this because I also unknowingly loved this scene and I just like made it up in my head. Who knows?
It was so visceral when you thought of it.
Yeah. But anyway, people bought the cast of the movie mangoes, which if it's not in the movie and they still bought them mangoes, that's kind of weird. But cool.
I hope they didn't know what was going on. I hope they were like, what the actual F?
Yeah. Like, why mangoes?
Why are we have so many mangoes?
Okay, so a few pages later, in the chapter Wake the Dead, she makes a comment about this being the first appearance of Brother Zachariah. Aww. So she says, the first appearance of Brother Zachariah in TMI. At this point, the books were coming out at the same time as Infernal Devices, and people were freaking out.
Kind of going along with this, too, how long ago? There was, I think you have it, there was an anniversary edition of City of Bones that came out, and it was blue.
Mm-hmm. I have it, yeah.
Yeah. And if you go through it, there's like little illustrations and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think I reread the book in that, like I reread that version of the book once, and there's a little illustration of... I think it was Jace and Alex's certificate or whatever from their parabatai ceremony, and it's signed by Brother Zachariah, and I was like, this is the cutest thing. I freaked out.
I do appreciate the callbacks, even though I don't appreciate,
You hate it, but you love it.
I don't appreciate his main storyline as much as I appreciate, like, all of the connections and stuff, but, like, you know.
I love the way that she threaded it through the story,
Yeah, but, like, he should have just stayed that way. Like, there was no need. We already had that chapter closed off. Like, that's neither here nor there. We could talk about that some other time.
Don't get me started.
Okay, and then there's a bunch of little, like, in my opinion, throwaway comments in the middle of the book. But one of those comments that I will bring up is, I'm going to it on page 223, something's going wrong with Clary, like, per usual. And
wow, that's so different and new.
Yeah, like, Clary is in over her head. And then Cassie makes a comment about how she loved this scene because it meant that Clary called automatically for help. Like, the person that Clary called automatically for help was Izzy. And I just think that's
cute.
Fun. Yeah, I was gonna say, it's fun to see them becoming, like, best friends.
Yeah, girlfriends.
Like, they used to hate each other because, obviously, Clary just came in and, like, ruined everything for
her. But, away, yeah.
Yeah, but now they're like, oh, I'm here to help you. We're friends now.
Yay! And Isabel's freaking awesome.
Yeah. Okay, and then going into chapter is Sanctuary. It's page 251 in this book, if anybody is following along.
Yeah, this is when the series starts.
Yes,
this is
so...
this is when the Alec and Magnus spinoff series starts.
Yes, she says, it was so much fun to return to this later and tell the story of what Magnus and Alec were doing in Europe in the Red Scrolls of Magic. So, like, if you don't remember, in this book, Alec and Magnus are not in the first half of it because they're off doing something, and then they have to call Magnus back because they need... They don't call Alec back, they call Magnus.
We don't give a fuck about you, Alec. Yeah. We just need Magnus. And because so, he continuously bails out every Shadow Hunter generation.
And so, they call him back, and so Alec is all, like, annoyed that they're coming back from their vacation, and they're like, we came as soon as we got your message. But they're gone because they're doing stuff in Europe, and if you want to know what they're doing, you have to read the Red Scrolls of Magic.
I need to finish the series, because in true Loretta fashion, I never finished it, but I read the first one. And I will say,
I haven't read them.
I will say it's completely jarring because, like, I'm so used to Magnus and Alec being Magnus and Alec with, like being together for years and having kids. And and then you start the Red Scrolls of Magic and it brings you all the way back to the beginning of their relationship when in book four. And it's, like, so weird. Because they're, like, so unsure of each other, and they're, you know, they don't know how each other, like, thinks yet and stuff. So it, was cute because, like, I just love them so much, but it's so weird, too. I was like, wow, I have to, like, bring my brain back all the way to the beginning of your character arcs.
And let's also just talk about the fact that that just shows how good of a writer Cassie is to be able to come back to this year.
Oh, yeah, to, like, flip.
Yeah, and then rewrite their whole relationship from the very beginning, even for though she's been writing about them being
and it feels in love so authentic together. Too. Like, it feels like it took place during this time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you're like, oh my god, they're falling in love.
if I ever have it in me, it would be really fun to, like, read them in order.
Like, yeah, in chronological time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not in true fashion for me. I actually haven't read that series yet. I have it sitting on my shelf. Like, I have the first two books. I don't think the third one is out yet, but, like, I haven't read either of them. Also, side note, is that those books are not back-to-back, so each one of them is
a different place. They take place in a different time period, right?
Yes, in a different chronological order. So, like, Red Scrolls of Magic happens between book four and five, or in book four, between that story of Mortal Instruments, and then I think the second book takes place, like, after...
I can't even remember.
Dark Artifices, or, like, in between, that series? I don't know. I have to go back and check, but I know that they're not, like, back-to-back.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the last one from this book, just because there were so many, like, little comments that I didn't really want to include in here, but this one I thought was really cool, is that in the chapter New York City Angels, again, it's on page 318, she has a comment. So for everybody who doesn't remember, Maureen is the little girl that follows Simon around. I think that's her name.
Oh, the one who's like his one groupie.
Yes. And
she ends up becoming a vampire and stuff, right?
Yeah, and she's like a little girl and she like follows Simon around because she's like his little fangirl.
Oh my god.
And she becomes a vampire and it causes like a whole bunch of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good setup.
Because she leads like an entire coven.
Yeah. She's like the head of all the vampires. But I thought that this would be, it's really interesting because Cassie's comment is, Maureen is based on a well-known YA author, Maureen Johnson.
Oh my god, that's cool.
I was like, and what? Hilarious. I never would have guessed, right? And now I want to know, she doesn't specify in what ways, but now I want to know if it's,
yeah, like, what are the similarities?
Is it based off of, like, the way that she dresses? Is it based off her personality? Is it based off of, like, mannerisms? But anyway, I thought that was a cool little, fun fact that
that's so
she
cute.
Based Maureen off of Maureen Johnson.
I love that. I love too. All these little factoids.
Favorite. But anyway, that is all I had to say for book four. So we can wrap things up. One thing I did want to end with that we didn't mention in the beginning is to come join us in our Fable book club for July, because it'll be
starting July soon.
Yes, so if you want to read some books with us and leave some comments, don't forget to join us. We'll add the link into our our description box.
Mm-hmm. The notes for the
episode. Yeah, we'll leave that link.
There's also a link on our website. There's a link if you go on our Instagram and click on the bio link. There's a link in there for it. So if you download the Fable app and you look for Emo Girls Guide, it'll come up too. So you got options.
Yeah. So everyone, come join us. It'll be fun. And with that, a reminder that next episode we'll be finishing up our little inside scoop of the Mortal Instruments. So we'll be doing books five and six. So everyone come back and join us. That's about it from us, I think, unless Loretta has anything else to add.
Nope. That's about it.
Okay, may your day be blessed with main character energy.
Main character energy.